الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. The 13th juz inshallah from Surah Yusuf, ayah number 53 onward. وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم. The story of Yusuf alayhi salam. We had left it in the middle last time. We learned that Yusuf alayhi salam refused to be released from the prison until his name had been cleared. So he sent a message to the king to ask about who had cut their hands. So the king assembled them, called them to court and questioned them. And at that moment, they all admitted that Yusuf alayhi salam was innocent. And the wife of Al-Aziz said, "Now the truth has become evident. It was I who sought to seduce him. And indeed, he is of the truthful." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes the words of someone who said, "That is so he, Al-Aziz, will know that I did not betray him in his absence, and that Allah does not guide the plan of the betrayers." It seems, and the majority of the scholars are in agreement, that this is perhaps Yusuf alayhi salam who spoke these words. He was particular, and that would befit a Mohsin. He was particular in his honesty, and that he wanted his employer and his Mohsin, the one who saved him from the well and brought him up well in his own home, and that he had not betrayed him in his absence. So then Allah says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ نَفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. And I do not acquit myself. Indeed, the soul is a persistent enjoiner of evil, except those upon which my Lord has mercy. Indeed, my Lord is forgiving and merciful. So we see that Yusuf alayhi salam is humble and he says, "I do not acquit myself." Or it is perhaps the wife of Al-Aziz and she is saying, "I do not acquit myself. Indeed, the soul is a persistent enjoiner of evil, except those upon which my Lord has mercy." And truly, it was Yusuf alayhi salam who believed in Allah. So it seems likely that he is the one who says these words. And he said, "Indeed, my Lord is forgiving and merciful." So we understand that our soul inspires us to evil. The depths of our soul, perhaps the part of our soul that we do not want to acknowledge. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves people whom he has mercy upon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Yusuf alayhi salam at that moment when he was alone, he had no help, and had a powerful, attractive influence trying to take him away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making him commit perhaps a grievous mistake. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was forgiving and Allah was merciful. And so once the matter is cleared up, we see that the king asked that Yusuf al-Islam be brought to him. And the king said, "Bring him to me. I will appoint him exclusively for myself." And when he spoke to him, he said, "Indeed, you are today established in position and trusted." So he is impressed with Yusuf al-Islam even before he meets him, at his caliber and his character. And then when he meets him, he is further impressed with him. So now the king decides that he is going to appoint Yusuf alayhi salam to a trusted position and that he will work for him directly. Joseph said, "Appoint me over the storehouses of the land. Indeed, I will be a knowing guardian. Inni hafizun alim. In Islam, it is not appropriate to ask for a position of authority because it has been reported on the authority of Abdul Rahman bin Samura, who said, but the Prophet, peace be upon him, said to him, Abdul Rahman, do not ask for a position of authority, for if you are granted this position as a result of your asking for it, you will be left alone without God's help to discharge the responsibilities that come with it. And if you are granted it without making a request for it, you will be helped, meaning by God, in discharging the duties. In this case, Yusuf alayhi salam is a prophet of Allah, and he has the right to ask for it, ask for this position, to become a guardian of the storehouses of the land, because this is the very position he will use to gather his family and bring them back into this area to settle in Egypt. And this was from the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah says, and thus we established Joseph in the land to settle therein wherever he willed. We touch with our mercy whom he will, and we do not allow to be lost the reward of those who do good. وَلَا نُذِيُوا أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah says that Yusuf alayhi salam, because of his immense patience and because of his self-control and his reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah made him become established in that land, and he gained a tremendous amount of authority. He became the right-hand man of the king and was the most trusted man in that nation. And that was after he had gone through a lot of hardship and yet had not lost hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, this is how we give reward to people who believe in this dunya, in the worldly life as well. They are given authority. But in the next ayah, Allah says and reminds us, and the reward of the hereafter is better for those who believed and were fearing Allah. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. And the brothers of Joseph came seeking food, and they entered upon him, and he recognized them, but he was to them unknown. So now we see that the famine is upon them, and Yusuf alayhi salam, because of the interpretation of the dream and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is handling that situation well, and he has stored a lot of the grain so that people from the surrounding areas actually come to Egypt to ask for food because they are unable to grow their own food at that time. Yusuf alayhi salam's brothers are amongst them, and when they come, he recognizes them, but they do not recognize him. Allah then says, and when he had furnished them with their supplies, he said, bring me a brother of yours from your father. Do not you see that I give full measure and that I am the best of those who give lodging? Now he wanted to bring up the brother, but he was not supposed to know that they had another brother. So they took information from the travelers and made a census of their family members and used that information to mention to bring up the brother to the other 10 brothers who had come in. And so Yusuf alayhi salam says that bring him as well, because if you bring him, then I will give you even more. And he says, but if you do not bring him to me, no measure will there be hereafter for you from me, nor will you approach me. So meaning that do not come back afterwards if you run out of grain. Because in essence, he wanted them to prove that they had another brother. So he said, I will not believe you. I will not give you any more unless you bring that brother and you show me that you need some extra grain. They said, we will attempt to dissuade his father from keeping him, and indeed we will do it. So they said that we will try and convince Yaqub alayhi salam to give up Benjamin as well, so that they could bring him with them to Yusuf alayhi salam. And Joseph said to his servants, put their merchandise into their saddlebags, so they might recognize it when they have gone back to their people, that perhaps they will return again. So the brothers had brought in merchandise to exchange it for the grain. So Yusuf alayhi salam tells his servants to take the exchange, the traded goods that the brothers had brought in, and along with the grain, put that back in their saddlebags to return it to them in secret, so to speak. So they, when they traveled back, the brothers had the grain as well as the original trading things, materials, or whatever it was that they brought with them to exchange. They had those as well. So when they returned to their father, they said, "O our father, further measure has been denied to us. So send with us our brother, that we will be given measure. And indeed we will be his guardians." He said, Yaqub alayhi salam said, "Should I entrust you with him except under coercion, as I entrusted you with his brother before? But Allah is the best guardian, and he is the most merciful of the merciful. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ." And when they opened their baggage, they found their merchandise returned to them. They said, "O our father, what more could we desire? This is our merchandise returned to us. And we will obtain supplies, meaning food for our family, and protect our brother, and obtain an increase of a camel's load. That is an easy measurement." So they decided to reuse the merchandise that had been left, they thought that had been left by mistake in their luggage, to buy even more grain. And they say, ذَلِكَ كَيْلٌ يَسِيرٌ, this is an easy measurement, meaning it's obtained by us with ease. However, in justice, that merchandise belonged to Egypt, because they were supposed to have left it there and used that to buy the grain that they brought back. In all honesty, they should have returned it. However, we see here that the brothers don't seem to have a clear understanding of the teachings of Islam, and they certainly do not practice at the level of Ihsan like Yusuf alayhi salam. So Ya'qub alayhi salam said, "Never will I send him with you," meaning Benjamin, "until you give me a promise," meaning oath by Allah, "that you will bring him back to me, unless you should be surrounded," meaning overcome by enemies. And when they had given their promise, he said, "Allah over what we say is witness." So he makes Allah the witness. And he said, "O my sons, do not enter from one gate, but enter from different gates. And I cannot avail you against the decree of Allah at all. The decision is only for Allah. Upon him I have relied, and upon him let those who would rely indeed rely." Now, why did he want his sons to enter from different gates? Because a group of young, strong men, and a big group of them at that, entering together would certainly raise some eyebrows. He wanted them to be prevented from the evil eye or from any other physical harm. And we also see the natural love of the father for his children, even if the children are not his favorite, or even if the children misbehave or they fall short in any way. Parents will always worry about their children, and it naturally came out in his instruction to them. And he also, however, reminds them, in al-hukmu illa lillah, that the decision is only for Allah. So even if we take our precautions, at the end of the day, if anything good befalls us, it is because of Allah. And if any harm touches us, it's because Allah has permitted it. And the best thing is for people to rely upon Allah. And when they entered from where their father had ordered them, it did not avail them against Allah at all, except it was a need within the soul of Jacob, which he satisfied, meaning that he had a need to remind them, to advise them to be careful. But Allah especially points it out that nothing can avail against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all. And indeed, he was a possessor of knowledge because of what we had taught him. Allah is speaking about Yaqub alayhi salam. And he says, but most of the people do not know. So Yaqub alayhi salam understood this concept that even if we take our human precautions, whatever happens in the future, it is because of the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody can avert that. And that was knowledge. Allah praises Yaqub alayhi salam for that. And he says that we had taught him that knowledge, and he possessed that. And so that made him different from other people. And he gave him this amazing ability and amazing deep strength to deal with the loss of Yusuf alayhi salam, a son who had been lost for him for a very long time, and then also being scared for his other children as they go forth on this new mission. Allah says then, "And when they entered upon Joseph, he took his brother to himself," meaning he took him aside. "He said, 'Indeed, I am your brother,'" meaning I'm your brother Yusuf. "So do not despair over what they," the other brothers, "used to do to me." Yusuf alayhi salam tries to console his brother and give him strength and sort of give him an idea that he is going to try something that is going to be beneficial for the both of them and their family. So when he had furnished them with their supplies, meaning the brothers, he put the gold measuring bowl into the bag of his brother, and that was done in secret. Then an announcer called out, "O caravan, indeed you are thieves." So this gold bowl was first planted into their bags, and then someone started calling and saying to the brothers that you are thieves. They said while approaching them, "What is it that you are missing?" They said, "We are missing the measure of the king, and for he who produces it is a reward of a camel's load, and I am responsible for it." They said, "By Allah, you have certainly known that we did not come to cause corruption in the land, and we have not been thieves." They, the accusers, said, "Then what would be its recompense if you should be liars?" The brother said, "Its recompense is that he in whose bag it is found, he himself will be its recompense." Meaning, according to their law, the law of the brothers, a convicted thief was made a slave of the one from whom he had stolen. So they said, "Thus do we recompense the wrongdoers." So he began the search with their bags before the bag of his brother. Then he extracted it from the bag of his brother. Allah says, "Thus we planned for Joseph. He could not have taken his brother within the religion, meaning law of the king, except that Allah willed." So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Yusuf alayhi salam to make this whole thing play out according to the law of the brothers, because that would be beneficial to Yusuf alayhi salam. If the law of the brothers and their land is used, then Yusuf alayhi salam could actually keep Benjamin with him. Allah says, "We raise in degrees whom we will, but over every possessor of knowledge is one more knowing." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Yusuf alayhi salam to use that knowledge that he had of his brother's law as well as local law in order to cleverly devise a plan that would be to his advantage. And it is about this ploy of Yusuf alayhi salam based on knowledge that Allah says, "Narfa'u darajatim man nasha," meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps people to apply their knowledge to the best of their advantage. These decisions, which are taken in a matter of a few seconds, a few moments, are only guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, "Wa fawqa kulli dhi 'ilmin 'aleem," but we must remember that over every possessor of knowledge is one who is even more knowledgeable, meaning that ultimate knowledge is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one person in this world can ever say that I have complete knowledge over my field. Even if a person becomes an expert in their field, they will still not have complete knowledge of it. And then you have all the ilm of the world, all the pieces of knowledge of this dunya, and every single creation of Allah that exists in it. And then Allah has knowledge of what has happened in the past, and also what is happening right now, and also what is going to happen in the future. So there are people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases in knowledge and in degrees by giving them different aspects of knowledge, or higher or more intense knowledge, or more detailed knowledge, or more vision perhaps, or more understanding or better application of that knowledge. And he divides it up between people as he sees fit. And this is how a person gains darajat, gains status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with ilm, true ilm, not zan, not assumption. Because the Prophet, peace be upon him, said that if someone seeks knowledge for the sake of showing off, then that person has not gained anything from that knowledge. Knowledge is only acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if it is gained solely for His sake. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us those who are pure in faith and sincerity to Him alone. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.
Hadith in Sahih Tirmizi tells us, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "The merit of the scholar over the worshipper is like my merit over the least of you. Surely Allah, His angels, the inhabitants of the heavens and the earth, even the ant in his hole, and the fish send blessings upon the one who teaches people virtue." Good. Fudail bin Iyad said, "A scholar who works in teaching has a high status in the domain of the heavens. May Allah make us students or teachers and keep us as students of Islam till the day we die, because the Prophet ﷺ also said that if someone treads on the path of knowledge, then he or she is traveling on the path of Jannah. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya Rabbal Alameen. May Allah make us of these people. Ameen." There are multiple teachings in the hadith about ilm, the value of knowledge in our religion and our tradition, alhamdulillah. But sadly, we see that most Muslims have left that behind. Sadly, we are behind in worldly knowledge and worse off in religious knowledge. The Sahaba were raised in status by the Quran, as claimed and truly stated by Umar radiallahu anhu. "The Quran also debases those who do not open it, do not read it, do not apply it. May Allah save us from being of those people. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen." So now that the gold cup had been found in Benjamin's luggage, the brothers suddenly say, Allah says, they said, "If he steals, a brother of his has stolen before." They suddenly jumped on Benjamin, and we see their dislike for him because they mentioned Yusuf alayhi salam and completely falsified a statement against him, saying that his brother had also stolen before. Now this was very hard, and Yusuf alayhi salam is listening. Allah says, "But Joseph kept it within himself and did not reveal it to them," meaning he did not answer that he himself had been stolen by them from his father or that he was innocent. Allah says, "He said, 'You are worse in position, and Allah is most knowing of what you describe.'" So he's thinking this to himself, Yusuf alayhi salam, that his brothers are making things even more difficult for themselves. They had kidnapped him and now they were lying about him. They said, "O Aziz," now they are calling Yusuf alayhi salam Aziz, and that is a title of great respect. So addressing Yusuf alayhi salam, they say, "O Aziz, indeed he has a father who is an old man, so take one of us in place of him. Indeed we see you as a doer of good." Subhanallah, they use the word Muhsin for him. Al-Muhsinin, inna naraka minal Muhsinin. And we see that every single person who meets Yusuf alayhi salam has used this word for him. The two men who went into prison with him called him a Muhsin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him a Muhsin a few times. And now his very enemies, his enemies from his past, also call him a Muhsin. And this is the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He solidifies for people on earth through those very people who would deny Him or criticize Him or even hate Him in the beginning. We see the brothers pleading to Yusuf alayhi salam. He said, "I seek the refuge of Allah to prevent that we take except Him with whom we found our possession. Indeed, we would then be unjust." So Yusuf alayhi salam again uses that ploy taught to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was going to stick by the law of their land, the land of the brothers, and he would not hold anyone else in place of Benjamin. So when they had despaired of him, they secluded themselves in private consultation. The eldest of them said, "Do you not know that your father has taken upon you an oath by Allah? And that before you failed in your duty to Joseph, so I will never leave this land until my father permits me or Allah decides for me, and He is the best of judges. We see this extraordinary and unusual remark from the eldest brother. Perhaps he was the one who recommended many years ago not to kill Yusuf alayhi salam, but instead to throw him in the well. And now we see that he suddenly realizes that his father is now too old to deal with the loss of another child, and that it would surely kill him. So he says that he is going to stay there and try to get a release of Benjamin, or that his father permits him to come back home. He tells his other brothers, "Return to your father and say, 'O our father, indeed your son has stolen, and we did not testify except to what we knew, and we were not witnesses of the unseen. And as the city in which we were, and the caravan in which we came, and indeed we are truthful,' so he's telling them, tell the father, because he will not believe you. Tell him to question the people that you ride into the city with, that this is exactly how things happened, and this time they were telling the truth." Jacob said, when they returned to him and they told him what had happened, Yaqub alayhi salam said, "Rather, your souls have enticed you to something, so patience is most befitting." Again, he uses the same words he used when he was informed of Yusuf alayhi salam having gone missing. He says, "Qala bal sawwalat lakum anfusukum amra fa sabrun jameel." So even though this time the brothers are speaking the truth, sadly Yaqub alayhi salam does not believe them because of their past history. And he says, "Perhaps Allah will bring them to me all together," meaning Yusuf and Benjamin. "Indeed, it is He who is the knowing, the wise." And he turned away from them and said, "Oh, my sorrow over Joseph." He remembered Yusuf alayhi salam, and he continued to remember him, and his eyes became white from grief, for he was of that a suppressor. He had lost his eyesight from crying, and because he would continuously for years suppress his grief or his anger at what he suspected his sons had done, but he was patient, relying only upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was such great grief that it manifested itself in his physical form. Subhanallah. They said, "By Allah, you will not cease remembering Joseph until you become fatally ill or become of those who perish." So they reprimanded him, being impatient with him. He said, "I only complain of my suffering and my grief to Allah, and I know from Allah that which you do not know." Would we do that? Do we do that when we suffer from sadness or grief? And say, "Innama," innama means only, "ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah," that I only complain of my suffering and my grief to Allah. Why? Because Yaqub alayhi salam says, "Wa'alamu," and I know, "min Allahi," about Allah, "ma la ta'alamun," what you all do not know. Meaning that the only benefit a person can seek and can derive from is to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about difficulties and share grief with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The problem with us is that we first talk about our difficulties with every single person on earth, and when everyone has failed, then we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or sometimes not at all. May Allah forgive us. Ameen. Yaqub alayhi salam was exemplary in his connection with Allah and also his understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we know that? Allah himself has given him that certificate in those previous ayat. Allah says in ayah number 68, "And indeed he, Jacob, was a possessor of knowledge because of what we had taught him, but most of the people do not know." Real knowledge is to not flinch in the face of adversity, to have that much utter, complete trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to understand that nothing can hurt me or help me except by the will and permission and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does that mean that a person does not feel anything, that we do not have any emotions? No. Yaqub alayhi salam did cry for years when he missed his son, but he never despaired. Allah says in the Quran, لا تخنطوا من رحمة الله. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah. The mercy of Allah comes at its own moment, at the moment that Allah has chosen for it. Not when we want it. It does come, but it comes at its own time. And the time for this family to be reunited had come. Ya'qub alayhi salam says, O my sons, go and find out about Joseph and his brother, and despair not of relief from Allah. Indeed, no one despairs of relief from Allah except the disbelieving people. How amazing! Allah says, Indeed, no one despairs of relief from Allah except the disbelieving people, meaning it is kufr. Qawmul kafirin. Only kuffar, only disbelievers would ever despair of the mercy of Allah, which means what? That even if you and I have an iota or a grain of iman inside of us, we would never lose hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and relief from difficulties. Allah says, so when they entered upon him, meaning Yusuf alayhi salam, they finally went back to him. They said, O Aziz, adversity has touched us and our family, and we have come with goods poor in quality, but give us full measure and be charitable to us. Indeed, Allah rewards the charitable. Inna Allaha yajzil mutasaddiqeen. They are now reduced to asking for sadaqah, charity, from the very boy whom they threw in the well many years ago, not valuing him at all. What goes around, comes around. They had thrown him down a well, to the depths of the well, not caring what happened to him, treating him as if he was trash. But subhanallah, they are now made to beg in front of that very person. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recompenses and rewards the muhsinin, those who continue to work at the level of excellence despite difficulties. May Allah make us of those. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. He, Yusuf alayhi salam, said, Do you know what you did with Joseph and his brother when you were ignorant? Suddenly, when he mentioned himself, they realized and they recognized him. They said, Are you indeed Joseph? He said, I am Joseph, and this is my brother. Allah has certainly favored us. Indeed, he who fears Allah and is patient, then indeed Allah does not allow to be lost reward of those who do good. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ This word muhsin has been used multiple times in the surah. The surah is about working at the level of excellence in every aspect of your life and how people fall from that. They fall from the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we learned that Yusuf alayhi salam had also learned, and this is what he said, that indeed he who fears Allah and is patient, do not hurry in your reward in this dunya. Do not push for things. When you know that something is not going in the correct direction, be patient. Do istikhara. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance formally and informally. And sit back and wait. Because Yusuf alayhi salam says, then indeed, Allah does not allow to be lost the reward of those who do good. And what is this excellent behavior? To fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have taqwa for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To step very carefully in the right places for fear of Allah. And then to be patient at the obstacles and the trials. That is ihsan. They said, by Allah, certainly has Allah preferred you over us. And indeed we have been sinners. And at that moment they verbally admitted that Yusuf alayhi salam has been preferred over them. And they admitted to their sin. And look at another example of this beautiful thing called ihsan. Yusuf alayhi salam turns around and says to his brothers, he said, no blame will there be upon you today. Allah will forgive you, and he is the most merciful of the merciful. Subhanallah, wa huwa arhamur rahimin. No blame game. In fact, he said, Allah will forgive you, and he is the most merciful of the merciful. surely rely on his mercy, feel relief. And then he says, take this, my shirt, and cast it over the face of my father. He will become seeing and bring me your family all together. So he invites them back. And this was a miracle given to Yusuf alayhi salam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His shirt was the only thing that would bring back the sight of his father. And when the caravan departed from Egypt, their father said, now Yaqub alayhi salam, to those who were present with him far away in that other country, smells the fragrance of Yusuf alayhi salam's shirt. And he says, indeed, I find the smell of Joseph and would say that he was alive if you did not think me weakened in mind. That this is what I really want to say, is that I can smell Yusuf. They said, by Allah, indeed you are in your same old era. And when the bearer of good news arrived, he cast it, the shirt, over his face, and he returned once again seeing. He said, did I not tell you that I know from Allah that which you do not know? What was it? What did he know about Allah that no one else there figured out? This basic principle. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, he makes a way out for him. This was real knowledge, the knowledge that Allah had taught Yaqub alayhi salam. They, the brothers, said, O our father, ask for us forgiveness of our sins. Indeed, we have been sinners. And so the wonderful thing about the brothers are that they do feel guilty and they do feel ashamed. And then they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask the father to seek forgiveness for them. He, Yaqub alayhi salam, said, I will ask forgiveness for you from my Lord. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful. And when they entered upon Joseph, so now the whole family comes back to Egypt. And when they entered upon Joseph, he took his parents to himself, meaning embraced them, and said, enter Egypt, Allah willing, safe and secure. Insha'Allahu Aminin. And he raised his parents upon the throne, and they bowed to him in prostration. And he said, O my father, this is the explanation of my vision of before. Remember when he was young and he saw a dream? 11 stars and the sun and the moon doing sajda, prostration to him. And those 11 stars were his brothers, the 10 and one Benjamin and his mother and his father. Now this prostration was a greeting and respect. It was lawful until the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and sajda, prostration to any person or object other than Allah, was then prohibited conclusively. So he reminds his father of his beautiful dream and says, my Lord has made it reality, and he was certainly good to me when he took me out of prison and brought you here from Bedouin life after Satan had induced estrangement between me and my brothers. Indeed, my Lord is subtle in what He wills. Indeed, it is He who is the knowing, the wise. Note how Yusuf alayhi salam only speaks of the positive. He never once complains or even mentions that he was thrown in the well because he has forgiven his brothers. He never once mentions the trial that the wife of Aziz had put him through because that matter had been resolved. And he does not once mention the fact that he was thrown in jail and that he was forgotten in jail afterwards, because after that and due to it, actually, the king had chosen him to be his right-hand man. He only talks about the positive, the fact that it was Allah who took him out of the prison and it was Allah who brought him his family back to him. He did not once credit it to himself or the fact that how he manipulated the situation with his brothers and the grains and the gold cup according to his advantage, because Yusuf alayhi salam knew that all of this was from the will and command of Allah. He could not have prevented himself from being thrown into the well because that was the plan of Allah, and then it was Allah who took him out. He could not have chosen the home that he grew up in. That was Allah's plan. But the fact that he was ejected from there and thrown into prison was also the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought him out of there. And it was Allah's plan that there should be a famine. And it was Allah's plan that the brothers would need grain. And they would come to Yusuf alayhi salam. It was Allah's plan that Benjamin would arrive there. It was Allah's plan that the shirt would relieve the distress of his father, Yaqub alayhi salam, and that the whole family and the prophets and Islam would move to Egypt. Allahu Akbar. Yusuf alayhi salam says, "My Lord, you have given me something of sovereignty and taught me of the interpretation of dreams. Creator of the heavens and earth, you are my protector in this world and the hereafter. Cause me to die a Muslim and join me with the righteous." So when someone has everything in this world, what else could they possibly want? The only thing that is left, and there is no guarantee for it, is that the end of that person is also good. And so the person who has everything asks this dua, فاطر السماوات والأرض أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة. You were my protector, my guardian, my close friend who looked out for me in this world and akhirah. And you will do this, you have done this in this world and you will do this. And I rely only upon you in akhirah. So this is what I ask. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَالْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Cause me to die as a Muslim, one who submits to you, and join me with the righteous. Allahumma ameen. That is from the news of the unseen, which we reveal, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to you. And you were not with them when they put together their plan while they conspired. And most of the people, although you strive for it, are not believers. And you do not ask of them for it any payment. It is not except a reminder to the worlds. So we have forgotten perhaps by now that the whole reason why the story was revealed to you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was because the Jews asked for it. The Bani Israel questioned the authenticity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his truthfulness. So Allah says, and most of the people, although you strive for it, are not believers. And you do not ask of them for it any payment. It is not except a reminder to the worlds. And how many a sign within the heavens and the earth do they pass over while they therefrom are turning away? They look at the world, we look at the world every single time. And do we ever notice, stop, pause, wonder? Allah says, and most of them believe not in Allah, except while they associate others with Him. Then do they feel secure that there will not come to them an overwhelming aspect of the punishment of Allah, or that the hour will not come upon them suddenly while they do not perceive? Say, this is my way. I invite to Allah with insight, I and those who follow me, and exalted is Allah, and I am not of those who associate others with Him. So this is the straight path. This is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's an invitation with basira, clarity, vision, perception. And who invites to the straight path? The Prophet, peace be upon him, and every single person who follows him. And exalted is Allah. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to say, I am not of those who associate others with him. And then Allah says, and we have sent not before you as messengers except men to whom we revealed from among the people of cities. So have they not travelled through the earth and observed how was the end of those before them? And the home of the hereafter is best for those who fear Allah. Then will you not reason? They continued until when the messengers despaired and were certain that they had been denied. There came to them our victory, Allah says, and whoever we willed was saved, and our punishment cannot be repelled from the people who are criminals. There was certainly in their stories a lesson for those of understanding. Never was it, meaning the Quran, a narration invented, but a confirmation of what was before it, and a detailed explanation of all things, and guidance and mercy for a people who believe. Does the Quran guide everyone? No.